Thank you. favorite verse. And when I think of God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Oh, Either somebody else needs to get up here. Try that one. Well, God is mighty. Woo! He's my shepherd. And he watches over me. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Glory. Woo! Glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was thinking when Brother Smith was talking this morning about mercy. And I thought, oh, Jesus. If it wasn't for his mercy, there's no telling where I'd be. Sister Ramona used to sing a song, and it said, thank you, Lord, for holding me. If it wasn't for your sweet love, no telling where I'd be. Oh, Jesus. And Lord, I have so much to praise the Lord for. He reached down to the... No, Jesus, I'm thankful for his mercy and his love in my life, because I'm nothing. And I'm so unworthy, so unworthy. Oh, but I'm so thankful that he's held me. And I don't know of any place that I would rather be than here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and I have to say, even though my mom's not here, I owe her so much, because even though the last few years of her life she was sick and she wasn't able to talk, but when she was, I mean, she used to preach to me. She'd say, Lord, you better get this planted. You better get it planted. You better get a vision. Oh, I remember she used to read her Bible every day. She loved this body of people. Oh. And every time she got a chance, she'd preach. And I remember used to, Brother Linger, he'd get up and he'd preach, and next thing you know, she'd have that hand up wanting to ask a question. I said, oh God, you know. Oh, but she loved the truth. She loved the truth, and she loved this body of people, and she did. She planted, and she used to preach to me all the time, and she'd say, you better get that Bible and you better read it. And she said, I've seen people that's been in this for 40 years, and she said, it's like a light bulb go off in their head, and next thing you know, they're gone. And she and I think of that song where it says, I could have been one whose eyes were not open. I could have been one who did not believe. I could have been one who strayed after finding this way. But God's mercy held me. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and I'm so thankful for this body of people. Oh, thank you, Lord, and I'm so thankful for Sister Brenda. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I could just tell she's got such a sweet spirit, and just stick around. Glory. Glory. Oh, Jesus. I know we may seem a little strange, but but it's a good kind of strange. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. I gotta say, oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for our, they're not Republic people anymore. Woo, glory. Oh, they're little rock. Woo, glory, glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I gotta say, I have just fallen so in love with Oh, with Sister Elsie and all Brother Al. Glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I love all the people that, Sister Yvonne, I can't name all of you, but I just want you to know I'm so thankful for y'all. And I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Smith. Oh, thank God. Oh, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I just want to say that I am so thankful to be here. Glory, glory.
This. You know, who got this thing going? If this is the way he plans things, I guess we should never want to miss it. You know? Because he plans things so that you can say, thank you, Lord, for the day. This is another day that you've given me. You know, and I wonder what you're going to do today. Especially when he calls a certain day for us to come together. Isn't that wonderful? Because we know we need each other. We call ourselves brothers and sisters around here. I've been called brother. I don't know whether they know that's my name or what. But anyway, they address me and say, Brother Goss, glad to see you. Sister so-and-so, you know? Isn't it wonderful to know that God has moved us into a place, into a heavenly place, and a place where we enjoy to call each other brothers and sisters? And really, we have brothers and sisters even outside of these walls. God has made them brothers and sisters. But in here, as you can see, when you get excited about that song, how great he is. Knowing that he's so great that he's going to cause us to be friends. Because doesn't the scriptures tell us, doesn't the Lord say that a friend is greater than a brother? Isn't that? So I guess we're going to go into a greater place where we can really call ourselves. And you go to your brother and say, hi, my friend. You're my friend. And you know what friends does. Jesus says, there's no greater love than you can have. Than I call you friends. Because I, how does that go? Because I lay down my life. Huh? How does that go? John 15, is it? We should read it, I guess. Can't read everything, but 15:13. The reason I'm mentioning that is because God wants to call us higher. If all you want to do is stop here, you'd be like the Laodicean church, isn't it? Isn't that the church that said, hey, we got enough. We're rich enough. We have no need of more money. No need of more of the Spirit. We don't need any more. And you try and give them more. I don't want that. I don't want any more. In fact, it might even make me uncomfortable to go here and raise my hands and so. But no. You know, here, our sister over here, I've never seen her act like that before. Now, I mean, I'm not here all the time. Maybe she's like that a lot. But, you know, I only... But you'll see that here. You'll see that in the body of Christ because God has put us into a place where there's freedom. I didn't always have that kind of freedom. And so, and then, of course, when you're acting like that, I don't know where you'll put on a show or something, but oh, no, of course not. It had to be the Spirit. Glory to God. And that's what's exciting about it all. It's the Spirit. And then, of course, it rubs over on me. And then you never know how it works. You could cry. You could be thankful. It just does a number on you. You know, because you yield it to the Spirit. It just does something for you. And that's why the Lord was so excited about the Spirit. I'll get back to the friend bit in a minute. But because, you know, somebody, you know, we get tied up on certain things in the Scriptures, like, should repentance come first and then the Holy Ghost, or should water baptism come first? And we get messing around with a lot of Scripture. But you know what I really think happened, really, in heaven? And what was going on there? When Peter came to Cornelius' house, and he said, hey, he didn't get baptized before he got the Holy Ghost. Well, I think really God jumped ahead of himself. You know, God gets excited. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Now, he did get excited. Remember in John 7, was it? Where he got so excited about this gusher of water. A well of water. He says, at the end of the feast, was it? He cried and said, anyone thirsting, let him come unto me and be filled. And he talked about the Holy Ghost that would be a well of water springing up into you. He was really excited about the Holy Ghost. And of course, don't forget, at Cornelius' house, when Peter was preaching, and they were accepting what Peter was saying so very much. Tell me more. Tell me more. Oh, yes. Because don't forget, this man was well prepared to receive the Holy Ghost. Doesn't the Scripture say that the world can't receive the Holy Ghost? No, he wasn't in the world. He was a just, isn't that right, Brother Smith? He was a righteous man. And that's what Peter had when he came back to the council. He says, I've got some things to tell you. And when they heard that, he says, he was a righteous man. In fact, he said that, what did Peter say about that righteous? He said, and then he also said, what was I that was standing what God was doing? Hey, God's doing something here tonight. Am I going to say it was just somebody is just making it up or just trying to be emotional or trying to be known, well known? Hey, I'm different. No, we don't want to be different around here. We want to blend. And that's one of the reasons why we like to have standards around here. Because that's only one reason. There's many reasons. That's why we don't want to blend like the world. We want to blend. We want to blend. We want the Holy Ghost to do it all. We want to blend with everyone, naturally and spiritually. Isn't that what a great God we serve? Hallelujah. What a great work he's doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What's that? What did he say about what Peter said? I think it was to Cornelius' house. He said, all those that are accepted, that's righteous before God, God hears, or what was it, before he preached to Cornelius. What did he say? I mean, you know everything about the Bible, Brother Smith. Like, don't you know that scripture verse? I got something he doesn't know. Huh? Huh? If I tell you, you'll tell me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll find it. We're talking about who's accepted before the Lord. Cornelius was a righteous man, and God did that. It wasn't, you know, it was in Acts 10, right? Yeah, just want to get my point. Just bear with me. I don't want to go too slow, but then I don't want to go too fast. I'm always a fast man. You get me talking when there's a Haitian interpreter. I want to tell you, he can't keep up to me. And he taps me on the shoulder once in a while and says, slow down. And so let's see, Acts 10. Yeah, in verse 35, isn't it? He's talking to him. Then Peter, or 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Glory to God. He was a righteous man. God had worked on him. He was ready to receive the Holy Ghost. And I know I mentioned Cornelius because I wanted to let you know how our God is, how great our God is. And we know that on the in Acts 2, where the Jews, after they heard that they had crucified the Messiah and God had worked on them, and then they felt so convicted and said, oh my God, what have we done? What are we going to do? What can we do? They said to Peter, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that's the order. You can't go out of that order because that is the plan of salvation. But then of course you got to read more of the book to find out that it takes more than that. Can they hear me back there when I turn like this? No, you can't hear me? I don't want you to miss anything that's of the Lord. But if I'm not talking in the Spirit, then forget it. I hope you don't hear.
It's downstairs.
We talk about, this sister was talking about walking and living, or living in the Spirit. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, you can be sleeping, but you're still living. Yeah. But he, what is it, in Galatians 3 it says, walk in the Spirit, and that's a glorious place that you need to be. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, it's impossible to walk, to serve the flesh, is it? Walk in the Spirit and you will not, walk in the you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's a problem if you do that. Because you'll die. You cannot go to be with the Lord if you yield to the lust of the flesh. Like somebody said in James, right, this morning. So you can't. And it's impossible to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then later on it says, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. So I don't know what point I was going to make there in regards to that, but really, walking, I think you were saying that that's fruit or that's action or that's, yeah, walking in the Spirit. And you can live in the Spirit, but you don't have, the commandment is to walk in the Spirit, and you don't have to. But when you do, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. So I believe what happened regarding in Cornelius' house, God got so excited about what he was producing. Just like the Lord said to Solomon, ask what you will. And then he got so excited about what Solomon asked. He said, I'll give you a lot more than what you bargained for. Is that what he said? He didn't say it like that. No, I'm paraphrasing. But that's exactly what he meant. I'm going to give you more than what you ask. And you get so in the Spirit, and you get asking the Lord the right way, and you'll know that what happens is he'll, many, many times, he'll give you more than you ask for. It's just like that. That was just like Paul had so much confidence in Philemon, was it? I know that you are such a servant of the Lord that you'll give more than I ask. Well, isn't that what they were doing? And when they were taking an offering for the temple or something, they were giving more than they. He says, hey, you better stop them. They're giving too much. Has Brother Smith ever said that? Hey, stop giving. You're giving too much. Glory to God. Not there, but you're on your way. Well, you start having gushers of water like this, right? Because these gushers of water, well, from this well of living water, why, it will make you so refreshed that you can run through a troop and leap over the wall. Isn't that what it's for? It just refreshes you. And then, but somebody thinks, well, all I got, look, when I got saved, that was a great experience. I can understand how Zacchaeus felt because I had some of that kind of experience. But there was more to it than that, but I didn't know it at the time. And God led me into a great place. But thank God I'm here today among his people. And so what happened was God, the Lord Jesus got excited again, just like he got excited about in John 7, where he got so excited, he says, "Hey, anyone thirsty, let him come unto me and be filled." You know, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. And then he got excited about, and Sister Brenda, she mentioned, I know your name because it's been mentioned a few times. I don't know why, but anyway. But she got up there and testified. She got up and testified this morning. She was so excited. Wasn't she excited? She was so excited that she knows the Lord. And then you get excited. Then God gets you excited more and more and more. You get excited about being in a church. Look, it cost me a lot of money to get down here, but I'm excited. It was nothing compared to just what I received. Isn't that right? It's wonderful. It's really wonderful to be here. It's a great blessing to be here. I hope I'm giving you something, but I've received a lot more. It's blessed, more blessed to receive or to give than to receive. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was so excited about that woman he found at the well, or was coming to draw water right at Jacob's well. And by the way, how do you think he got there? Because his father told him that's where he needs to go. And an experience, he heard some words before that why he got there. That's the way God works, by the way. That's why a ministry is so important. That's why it says in Ephesians, you have to. It's a commandment of God to sit under a ministry, a fivefold ministry at that. A people that believe in a fivefold ministry. Because the reason for that is to perfect the saints. And there's a lot of things that they'll tell you because God shares it with them to tell the saints, especially in preaching and teaching. Praise God. I'm glad I listened to Brother Smith once in a while. A lot. I appreciate Brother Smith. In fact, I appreciate him taking me to Cracker Barrel, too. He's even good at that, you know. He's good in many ways. You're blessed. You talk about a shepherd. He's an under-shepherd, and he's a good one. Glory to God. You're blessed, and you should lift him up. Pray for him all the time. Make sure that you lift up his hands. And his hands have surely been lifted up today. I know, because I believe I know something about him. His hands have certainly been lifted up today. Because when he sees someone testify, when he sees the people getting blessed, I mean, you know, Brother Smith gets blessed. Jesus got blessed. The Father gets blessed, and he can grieve too. He can grieve. Oh, yeah. He can get heavy laden, burdened. I mean, Paul did because he loved. Paul loved the people. He loved God's people. And when they would not do what the Lord told them, him to teach the people to do, then it grieved him from his heart. Just like Samuel, he cried for Saul. That's what happens to shepherds. That's what happens to leaders that God chooses. They're my servant, and when you hurt them, you hurt me, and you hurt, you're really, when you hurt them, you're really hurting me too. Just like if you give them a glass of cold water, you are giving me a bucket of water tonight. And so then, of course, you give it to Jesus. Jesus gets blessed too. The Lord loves to get blessed. Bless the Lord. Doesn't it say that? That's one way to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. When you see His working in you and it comes forth, it comes forth in fruit, you really bless the Lord. Anyway, I'm glad I didn't have this planned, because I would never remember what I was going to say. Is that right? So that's impossible, you see. So, and anyway, if it was planned, I would have it so with enticing words of man's wisdom, and you'd say, hey, everything is organized. Well, God is organized too, but not the way man organizes it. Here's getting back to Cornelius there. I wanted to bring forth my point to give you an idea on how God can work out of the plan. Just I know I'm going to mention something else too, but it's just like he said, remember how the children was rejoicing when he came in on the colt, and, you know, and they were laying down the trees, the palm trees, and they were all singing Hosanna in the highest. And of course, you know, the religious world didn't like that, giving too much glory that way. Especially to that fellow that really was against him, which was Jesus. He even called them hypocrites. And you're glorifying? And he says, hey, tell them to stop. He says, the stones would cry out. I'll throw this in. I mean, you know, if I'm wrong, then don't swallow it anyway. You're not supposed to swallow it. Yes, you know, but well, it sounds good anyway, what I'm going to say. It says, Jesus said, if you stop them, the stones would cry out. In other words, there was I think he was talking about the Gentiles. He says that because Cornelius' house was the right timing. You know, that was the right timing for the Gentiles to enter into the kingdom of God. So there's a right timing with God, right? God's got everything planned out. But he can delay the time, or he can put the time forward. He knows how to do that. He did that with Hezekiah, right? Regarding time. He can change time. He can change his time. And he says the stones would cry out. I think he was talking about the Gentiles. In other words, God is so excited. He's got the Gentiles coming in. That's in his mind. Will you stop that? I'll turn to the Gentiles sooner than expected. Anyway, to show you that God can change his mind, and you know he changes his mind, and he can push time forward and move time back. The long-suffering of God moves time back. Is not willing that any should perish. So he waits, and he's long-suffering. He's merciful. And just waiting for you to respond to his grace and his love to you, because he wants you to respond so he can cause you to take on the nature of Christ. How are you supposed to take on the nature of Christ? By responding to God. It just isn't done just by repenting, being water baptized, and getting the Holy Ghost. That's just a part of it. That gets you going. It really gets you going. So Jesus was so excited, he baptized them before the order. Huh. Okay. Does that sound funny? God's always in order. We know that. But he was so excited. God, because of how they were responding to what Peter was saying. The Lord was giving them words to say that would save them. And then what happened was, they received the Holy Ghost. What a surprise. Glory to God. Peter says, even the Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost the same as us. And they heard them speaking in tongues. He says, can any man forbid water? He was talking to the Jews. That they wouldn't be baptized and be a part of us. And then the commandment came, yes, be baptized in water. So anyway, I'm not forgetful. I was turning to John 15, was it? Some would say, well, when you get a little older, you forget. I don't know. Maybe. God's got a good memory, so I hope to get more of him. What was it Brother Weineker said as if we finished that portion of how the blessings of God, he says, more and more of Jesus with us? That's the plan. You don't want to get more of the world. You want to get more of Jesus. And when you come here and be faithful, what do you think God brings you here for? Just to entertain you? Huh? And just to have a nice dinner and have some fellowship together? No. There's a purpose. I mean, if that's all it is, you can go to lots of places and get entertainment and fellowship. You can go as far as the wisdom of man and the things that man is doing, brother. You can go some places and you'd see great talent. We got greater talent than that here, haven't we? We have a greater manifestation here with what the Spirit is doing. So you come here so that you can be more and more like Jesus. Jesus said, if you eat of me and drink of me, you shall have life. And you'll never die. That's what he said, right? Well, in order never to die, you have to eat all of Jesus. You got to get all of him. And you have to find out how to get all of Jesus. I didn't know that I had to have all of Jesus. I had to eat all of Jesus. I didn't know how to do it, neither. In fact, I never heard that before where I came from. Mm-hmm. Of course, we never called ourselves brothers where I came from, neither, but you know, they hadn't advanced that far. It's a good place to be where you call yourself brother, sister, and say, I love you. Yeah, but you don't know how much more you're going to love me. You're going to love me like the commandment of Jesus said, you should love me like I love you. And you'll get you'll not only love me, when you get my love, then you'll get your love to one another. And then the world will know. Little Rock will know. You'll become Jesus, you got to build on the rock, but maybe this is a little rock. That's what Jimmy Swagger, by the way, I heard his name a couple of times since I've been here. And I heard him preach on the little rock and the big rock. Jesus is the big rock and Peter was the little rock. Isn't that what Jesus said? Upon this rock, Peter. But you know, I see a rock here. Little Rock, the church in Little Rock. Of course, the revelation that you have here is far beyond. You have a revelation that you have to take on the nature of Christ completely and completely take off the nature of Adam. Glory to God. The divine nature of Christ. That's what God is producing within you. What a glorious place that is. Hallelujah. No wonder we can shout and sing because we see what God is doing in us. Then we see what God is doing in our brother and our sister. And then, of course, when people come, they say, I like coming around where there's love. They're getting their love one to another. Not only that, they got their love to me. They really love me. I don't know what it is they love about me, but they love me. You know? And say, hey, God must be doing that. That's the new commandment. That's the new commandment in the new kingdom of God. The kingdom of God under grace. That's the new commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By the love that you have for one another. Isn't that in John 13? Let's read that in John 15 about a friend. And that's the difference between a people that believing they're moving up higher in the Lord where we can call one another friends. And let's see. Somebody said, a greater love. 13, yeah. John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man. You can't have a greater love than what I'm going to tell you, Jesus is saying. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. we become friends. And we please one another. We serve one another. We love to serve one another because we're God's servant. We're Jesus' servant. And that's why we know that each one here, you're laying down your life for one another. What you're doing is your... time has to do with life, doesn't it? I give you 5 minutes of my time. That's life. I give you an hour of my time. The reason I'm here, I wanted to really... There were certain things I had to see to tonight, but the sister here says faithful, says something about faithful. Is that right? So we want to be faithful. We want to press through and be faithful. And so... So you press through and be faithful because you prefer your brother. That's what's on our mind. We want to please God. And God says we should please our brother. And so we come here because he wants to sit you on the table so somebody can eat of you. Because we eat and drink of one another. That's the body of Christ. That's the spiritual communion, is it? Spiritual communion. You know, we believe in communion. Jesus said it, and a lot of people think it was natural. A lot of things he said, and feet washing, they say that was natural. A lot of people do that in the natural. But thank God, God has led us into a place where we can spiritually do it, and it gives us life. Hallelujah. I was eating today. That service this morning, Brother Smith, I was just enjoying you. You know, I'm glad you didn't say, Brother Goss, you want to... Because really, I really wanted to get up. I had so many things. I don't know if it was going to be the same as this, but I was excited regardless. I was excited about what God is doing. And so I wanted to get up, but I wanted to keep my foot. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what the scripture says? Keep your foot when you go into the house of the Lord. Don't be too anxious to say things. But I was enjoying. So the Lord laid it on the table, and I was enjoying what he was feeding us. And I wasn't about to vomit that up. This is not the table where you vomit up things, especially you come hungry and thirsty like Sister Brenda. You're not about to vomit up things. Right? Well, you know what that means. You can't hold down what was preached to you or said to you. No, you take it in and you meditate on it and you enjoy it and you praise the Lord. And then you see that what was said and what you were receiving and eating is becoming a part of you. And now you're blending in with what God is doing in all the people. Praise God. And so we blend spiritually and we blend naturally. So I'm not going to come here with a pink suit on. Because you may not notice me now. But if I had a pink suit on, you'd never forget me. In fact, you wouldn't even be able to contain yourself. And before you know it, it'd be over there in Michigan or wherever. It'd be around the world. Brother Goss came with a pink suit on. Why? Because I'm different. I mean, it's all right to be different in the Holy Ghost. But, you know, I'd like to blend together. That's one of the reasons. You talk about, really, it's great respect to blend. You want to blend. You want to blend in the same. This is why we're different, Brother Smith. We want to blend in doctrine. We want to be able to speak the same thing. Isn't that what Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians? Is it 10? That you all speak the same thing. That's what we're anxious to do. That's what our longing is. We desire that so much that we all speak the same doctrine, because God is not divided. There is only one doctrine. There is only one gospel. Paul was quite adamant about one gospel. And so we're trying to get back to the gospel that was once preached to the saints a long time ago. That's why thank God. That was one of the most exciting things when I came around this people. We call ourselves the body of Christ. But it wasn't really exciting to me because they say that they are the body, because I thought I was the body too. You go out anywhere, your brother's out there, wherever they are. You just say, I'm a part of the body of Christ. Well, so am I. No problem. So it's a wonderful thing. But what does the Bible mean by that? You gotta find out. Because there is two bodies, there is two churches. And so if you start thinking, now listen, if you start thinking that everybody is a part of the body of Christ, Isaiah 4, you might as well rip that out. Isaiah 4, 1, 2, 3, you might as well rip that out. Because that's not the body. Whatever is in there, that isn't the body. Okay? And then, because you think everything is the body, then you'll change the interpretation of that. For sure. And I didn't know that scripture was in there anyway at one time. Because I probably never read it. And if I did read it, well, I read the Bible. But, I mean, I just read it. It's there. But I couldn't meditate on that because it just wasn't registering at all. So I'm thankful to be here. And I was mentioning how I believe Jesus got excited about the woman that he met at Jacob's well. She was a believer. And she got excited about the things that Jesus was saying. She was sure a believer. She believed in Abraham, and certainly Jacob. She was drinking from his well, right? He gave us the well. That's what she said. But they were, but you notice how, I want to just share this thought with you regarding this. What made me think of it was the way Brenda got excited about being here and the move of the Spirit and the people was rejoicing over that, and then the Holy Spirit was rejoicing because it's the Holy Spirit that brought that about. It's the Spirit that brings us. Well, how do you think you got here? You know, you do you feel the presence of Jesus Christ? He's here. He's got to be here. I know you got the Holy Ghost over there. Well, if he's there, you got the Father and the Son. He's here, right? Didn't Jesus say in John 10, in John 10, he's talking about, as you receive the Holy Ghost, you just receive the Father and the Son. He'll come and we will come and set our abode in you. And here's how, would you like to have been standing there when Jesus was telling these things? And saying, in fact, really, truthfully, you wouldn't want to. Because you couldn't receive the Holy Ghost at that time. Right? But now you can receive the Holy Ghost. Right? I mean, that was a time when you couldn't even receive it. And Jesus was saying, the Comforter, he's with you. But my Father's going to send another Comforter who shall be in you. Is that the way he said? Well, let's turn to it. I'm going to... Glory to God. Is that 20 after 6? God must have turned back the clock. Because I thought we'd been going for a long time. So, somebody says, well, I was enjoying it so much the time flew by. Well, it's not a problem with the time now because I wasn't enjoying it. I was enjoying it all. But what I'm amazed at is God's done so much in such a short time. That's right. He's done a lot in such a short time. John 10, is it? Is it John 10? Where is that? Where he says, the comfort you have with you, isn't it, John? Is it John 10? And shall be in you. No, John 14, isn't it? Yeah, John 14, yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, a lot of things go through your mind when you're up here. Yeah, it says, you notice, well, let's read a few verses, and then, Brother Smith, I'm going to get out of the way here. I'm going to I guess I'm getting out of the way. You pray for me. I don't want to lie. In verse 15, let's start there. I'm talking about Jesus, how excited he was about what his Father was doing. And he confessed, and he let people know that, hey, you really can't come to me unless my Father draws you. He's number one. I work under him. He's greater than me. He's the one that sent me. I wouldn't have come if he hadn't have sent me. I love him. I want to please him in every way. And I not only pleased him up in heaven.